Shalom Aleichem to all who are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcast. This is Les Aaron Gosling teaching nothing new, but all things original. I've titled today's podcast, Slavery, the greatest evil that ever existed, and God's accommodation to humankind. I wish to encourage all my students and listeners in Australia and around the globe to broaden both their perspectives and perceptions relating to their accumulating knowledge of the biblical revelation. Now, I'm about to cover some things which I'm fully cognizant will be creating more than a little unease with a few of my students. I'm trusting, however, that the vast, overwhelming majority of our Messianic believers will be able to acknowledge and appreciate, as a correct understanding and application, that which is plainly found in what is called the Word of God. We so often hear from the Christian Church that there's a great need for believers to accommodate to the will of the living God. And, indeed, we should all be attempting to align ourselves to God's expectations of us as human beings. But when we open the first pages of the Torah, in the first book or scroll of the Torah, Genesis, we find that more often than not, it is God himself who is accommodating to human beings. This is so often overlooked by believers, both Messianic and traditionally Christian, and it needs to be stressed that God is an accommodating God, and that this is nothing more than a reflection of his innate character. God, we are told, is love. God is infinite love, and that infinite love is unconditional. That is what the world needs to hear more about at this time. A prime example of God's accommodation to humankind is that of our father Abraham. Certainly God accommodated to the patriarch, and in quite a surprising way. If you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, and look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get you out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. It's quite a covenant, or contract. If Abraham complied with the commandment of God in its three sections, wonderful blessings would be his. And what were those three requirements of God concerning our father Abraham? Well, firstly, he had to leave his country, which was in the region of Chaldea. Secondly, he had to depart from his relatives. Thirdly, he had to renounce his father's house and all for which it stood. Now, Rashi comments, and that's the great Jewish rabbinical scholar and commentator on this section of Abraham's call, quote, In this land of idol worship, thou art not worthy to rear sons to the service of God, unquote. In other words, the evil surroundings would contaminate them. The Midrash takes pains to explain that this jettisoning of his past would be for the benefit of all Abraham would meet. Quote, When a flask of balsam is sealed and stored away, its fragrance is not perceptible, but opened and moved about, its sweet odor is widely diffused. Unquote. Abraham had to cut himself adrift from all associations that could possibly hinder his mission. According to the Pentateuch and Haftorahs, Lech Lecha, chapters 12-17, Abraham is called by Paul the father of the faithful for the period prior to the inauguration of the Mosaic economy. The great apostle aligns Messianic believers with him. Yet, and here is the point, Abraham was far from obedient to the Lord's command. In verses 4 and 5 of chapter 12 it is written, So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son. Well, not only did Abraham disobey God in regards his nephew Lot, Stephen tells us that when God first called Abraham and told him to depart from his relatives, and thus from his father's idolatrous house, that Terah, his father, went with his son. You'll find that in Acts chapter 7, verses 2, 3, and 4. Not only was this the case, Abraham's life was one huge mistake after another. Anybody reading Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 20 will substantiate that fact. English-born Canadian Anglican, low church of course, theologian James Packer has noted concerning our father Abraham that he was, quote, capable of repeated shabby deceptions, which actually endangered his wife's chastity, Genesis 12:10 and verse 20. Plainly then, he was by nature a man of little moral courage, altogether too anxious about his own personal security. Chapter 12, verse 12 onwards, and chapter 20, verse 11. Also, he was vulnerable to pressure. At his wife's insistence, he fathered a child upon her maid Hagar, and when Sarai reacted to Hagar's pride in her pregnancy with hysterical recriminations, he let Sarai drive Hagar out of the house. Plainly, then, Abraham was not by nature a man of strong principle, and his sense of responsibility was somewhat deficient. Unquote. J.I. Packer, Knowing God, 50th Anniversary Edition, 2023, pages 86 and 87. Of course, this was not the Abraham who finally became a new man of astonishing character under the guiding shadow of Yehovah's wings. And in an overall sense, Abraham was obedient to the heavenly vision, but that obedience was most assuredly an incomplete obedience. Nevertheless, the record states that God did bless Abraham and in a mighty and wonderful way. In Genesis 26, verse 5, it is written, inspired by the Spirit of God, Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. In a word, God was accommodating to Abraham's humanness. And Lot, who fled with his uncle Abraham from Chaldea, was certainly no paragon of virtue. No, not by any means. A man of immeasurable greed, Genesis 13, involved in the official affairs of the infamous city of Sodom, Genesis 19, verse 1, and who even offered his two virginal daughters to brutish rapists, both heterosexual and homosexual, an invitation open to all the horrors of pack rape, Genesis 19, and who finally committed incest with the two girls, again Genesis 19, this man is referred to as righteous Lot by no less an authority than the Apostle Peter himself. Not only did Peter consider Lot righteous, but he also called him just and godly, 2 Peter chapter 2, 7 through 9. Well, you know, almost needless to say, I do not share this view of Lot. I happen to live in the 21st century of our era, and my views do not agree or coincide with those of Peter, who considered this nephew of Abraham to have been righteous. But here again, in the case of Lot, we find the doctrine of accommodation. God fully is aware of man's nature and man's needs, not only physical and material, but emotional and psychological. God accommodates to man. This is a prime teaching of the biblical revelation concerning which the church has never appropriately come to terms. Think prostitution. What comes to the Christian and messianic mind? A disgusting life of degradation and a totally immoral mindscape when it comes to a personal comprehension of human self-dignity. However, reflect on Rahab of Jericho fame, or rather, ill fame, for Rahab was a prostitute of the city-state of Jericho. Now, some godly believers don't want such a woman listed in the ancestry of the Christ, and so they refer to her merely as an innkeeper. But the fact remains, she was a prostitute, and she was celebrated by the people of God as an example of courage, dignity, and rare faith. The story of this woman is told in Joshua chapter 2. Rahab is commended by the unknown Jewish author of the letter to the community of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 31, and the apostle James upholds her actions as a woman of deep faith and thoroughly justified in the sight of God by her works. James 2, verse 25. And what were these fine works? think, please. To start with, Israelite spies sent into the region of Jericho in order to send intelligence back to Joshua for a smooth Israeli invasion of the country, were being entertained in a local brothel, Rahab's house of ill fame, when they became aware that their cover was exposed, no pun intended. But Rahab hid them. She lied to her own nation's military representatives. She committed high treason, and she swapped sides. For this, Rahab will be in the resurrection at the coming of the Messiah, so says the Bible, Hebrews 11:39-40. What many have failed to appreciate about this little prostitute is the fact that she accommodated to human need, particularly the needs of the chosen people of God, even if they were temporarily residing in an ancient pagan massage parlor. Rahab had a view of life that, for whatever reason, took her concerns beyond her national identity. Her perceptions extended outside nationalistic loyalties. Israel was her enemy. Yet she was ready and willing to accommodate to this enemy. She had, in fact, shown love to her enemy. In Matthew 5:38-44, have a look at that and impose her into it. The fiber of her character was scrutinized by God, and it stood the acid test. Think also of another little prostitute who was located in the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 23. Isaiah wrote that the hire of a certain prostitute was considered, at least during his day, holy to the Lord, because that hire was used to purchase food and clothing for the Lord's people. Check it out, Isaiah 23:17-18. Listen, we humans were created in the image of an accommodating God, and we need to become more like him. As I have mentioned in a previous podcast, we all need to go forth ourselves into the loving embrace of the God who accommodates to human need. That accommodation of God extends even into some of the most unworthy and horrendous practices that continues to abound today all over the world. And that issue, as I have made plain in the past, is slavery. The world in which Paul found himself was one of a harsh Pax Romana dictatorship, and the common day occurrence of slavery, surprise, surprise, nowhere did the intelligent Jewish rabbi discount the right of people to engage in slavery and or to possess slave holdings. And I might just add that in my view, slavery is the most heinous and destructive form of subjugation and captivity that's ever existed. I speak not just about slavery in its common understood form, but also in the category of captive wives who, as domestic slaves, labor for very little return, even in regard to respect, let alone love, from husbands or children. But in God's accommodation to humankind, there is not one word in the entirety of the biblical revelation that speaks out against slavery. True, Paul had written that slaves had to obey their masters in Ephesians 6:5-9. And yet if a Christian slave could gain his freedom, then he or she ought to take the risk of attempting to obtain it. 1 Corinthians 7:21-24. But having said this, and yes, I am aware of my repeating this fact, Paul nowhere encourages the sentiment of liberty and freedom for slaves. It's nowhere to be found. Paul's silence has been used in fairly recent times to give slaveholders every right to possess and use and cruelly abuse and even murder slaves. There was, I might remind some folk who are not U.S. citizens, a god-awful civil war fought in America, and while it was fought on economic grounds, one of its fundamental activities was to free the African slaves who were captive in what became the Confederate States. In fact, Abraham Lincoln made halting expansion of slavery his campaign issue for election to the presidency. It was his election in 1860 which initially triggered 7 states to secede from the Union and to form the Confederate States. 4 more states seceded when war broke out. The awful truth is that the Bible was more often than not used to prove that slavery was entirely permissible and further that it had God's approval. What was mistaken was the notion among anti-abolitionists that just because God was accommodating to something or other did not necessarily mean that God approved of it. Stay tuned in order to unlock the secrets of the Bible. solve the mysteries of the biblical revelation, explore the astonishing realms of infinite intelligence. Enjoy the advancement you will attain as a spiritual being having a human experience in this material world. We invite you to traverse the contents of this ancient book we call the Holy Bible to gain a unique insight into the Jewish scriptures. If you are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcasts for any of these reasons, then welcome indeed. It is high time to restore all things, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you in this manner. This is Les Aaron Gosling saying, Kol Tov to all who love the Lord Yeshua.